Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 35. The glory of Christ as the head of the collective of two called marriage. Topic B. The marital principle that remains unchanged from the beginning. Although our purpose in this chapter is not to conduct a study on marriage itself and what follows it, since our goal is to highlight Christ's position as head on this matter, we believe it is necessary to return a little to some basic principles on the marital union as it is presented to us by the Lord in the Scriptures, precisely to see, more objectively, the position of Christ concerning it. Another aspect that makes marital union unique, unlike several other factors related to humanity, is that it, before God, was established by some basic principles that the Lord never gave up being taught and to be used as essential principles for any conjugal union recognized by God. For God, the principles of the first marriage or the first conjugal union are those that we find described as follows in the opening parts of the book of Genesis. Genesis 2, 21-24. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Approximately 4,000 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ, when asked about issues related to marriage, reiterated the same words that God had spoken since the beginning of the establishment of a marriage, since the first time that the man and the woman were introduced to each other, thus reaffirming that, in God's view, this matter has never undergone any change over the centuries, even though human beings have often tried to establish other parameters for the marital point. Matthew 19, 4-6. And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?' So then, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate." Mark 10, 5-9. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because of the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate." The manner of union between a man and a woman was established since the marriage of the first couple on the face of the earth and became, before God, the basis for all the descendants of Adam and Eve in all peoples. The proper way of marital union is not something that God left for men and women to define, but he, as the creator of both, as God over the creation, showed his intent and the way he defined for marriage. From the beginning, already before the first union of the first man with the first woman, God established how the marital unions of all sons and daughters who descended from them should take place. And without recognizing what for God is marriage worthy of honor among all, and without acknowledging how marriage is established before the Lord, there is also no way that the theme of Christ being the head in this matter might be addressed appropriately. We will see later that in married life, Christ is the head of the husband and the husband the head of his wife for the proper functioning of the marriage, but this, in turn, applies to marriages that are established according to the principles that God left defined for them to be established. Over the centuries and by introducing cultural variations, the human being has tried many times to modify the essence of what is a true marriage before God. However, The fact that many cultures define marriage according to their own concepts does not change what marriage is before God or according to His instruction. The fact that civil societies, through their customs, laws, and magistrates, accept and recognize marriages that are in disagreement with what is acknowledged as marriage before God, does not imply that the Lord acknowledges as marriage what people establish as being a civilly acceptable marital union. If during the Order of Aaron period, God tolerated some conduct contrary to marriage because of the hardness of the people's heart in rejecting God's direct priesthood towards each person and because of the temporary period of the Order of Aaron, to witness of its weakness and uselessness. As we have already seen, from the coming of Christ in the flesh into the world, and from the manifestation of the establishment of the order of Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus began to reiterate the principle established from the beginning, not accepting any more the temporality of what was adopted under the revoked order of Aaron. Christ, as the eternal High Priest, the King of righteousness, and the King of peace, is also the head of matrimonial unions, but only of those which are in line with the principles of God about what indeed is a marital union and not over what human beings, in their own conjectures, consider to be a marriage. Christ's glory as the head over a married couple refers to those marital unions that God recognizes, regardless of whether a civil society recognizes or does not recognize the principles established by the Lord. Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh"? So then, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate.